Hello and welcome back to episode 33 of the Sportsport Podcast. I'm Aiden.
I'm Billy.
And unfortunately, Alejandro isn't here today, but we're going to move right into the NFL.
Yeah, so a lot has happened in terms of the Deshaun Watson situation that we talked about last week on the podcast. Deshaun Watson, as we know, has had a lot of trouble with the ownership in the Texans organization. There's been a lot of assumptions made about why he's mad with the organization. The main reason pretty much he's mad at them is they didn't include him in the GM search, which they ultimately hired Nick Caserio. Now they hired a firm to go find a GM for them, a recommendation basically. Hundreds of thousands of dollars going to this. And they recommended the Steelers vice president of football operations. They didn't take this, and neither did they take Deshaun Watson's advice when they told him that he was going to be involved in the GM search. They basically ghosted him and ignored everything that Watson had to say. So he's pretty pissed off. He's voiced this on Twitter, and he's left cryptic messages everywhere that his anger is now a 10 instead of a 2. Tweets like that. Weird stuff. But ultimately, reports said that Watson just wants out. There's a growing sense in the NFL and front offices throughout that Watson has played his last snap as a Houston Texan. I do believe that he probably has played his last snap as a Houston Texan. It just doesn't make sense that he would want to play there anymore with what's going on with him. And also the Bill O'Brien thing and the DeAndre Hopkins trade back then.
It's been a downward trend.
Disaster. Yeah. He hasn't been happy in a while. And he was very smart. Watson was very smart in signing that extension with the Texans, actually, because he pretty much just locked in his money. Because he's going to get out of Houston. We know he's going to get out of Houston. And he could have did the free agency path, but he locked in his money then so that if he got injured possibly this season, that just happened. He didn't. But it was a good kind of safety net that he put in. I thought that was interesting. Like, we looked at the contract last year, and we said, why is this guy signing an extension when his top weapon just left and even back then the organization was in turmoil? Why is he signing this extension? Well, he knew that he had the power to possibly force a trade somewhere else while still getting the money. So he got the money. He secured the money. And then now he's going to try to force himself out somewhere. So it's basically the same as free agency at this point, because there's no way Deshaun Watson stays with the Texans unless something happens. Richard Sherman also linked him to the Jets. Sherman said that he should go over to New York. He wanted him to go over to New York. Former defensive coordinator for the 49ers and Sherman's coach, Robert Saleh, is now the head coach of the Jets, which I think was a pretty good hire, although I would have liked them to go into offensive direction. But I really like Saleh. I thought Saleh should have got a job last year, probably after the job he did with the Super Bowl, and did a really good job this year the 49ers were probably the most injured team in the NFL this year, and their defense was still top of the line without linebackers like Fred Warner, and they lost Forrest Buckner to trades and all that. And they just still did really, really well. Anyway, Sherman linked him to the Jets, and now this Jets narrative has really grown into a full-fledged fact at this point, that the Jets and Watson are engaged with each other in interest in meeting. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, apparently, there's also been reports that they've been recruiting Watson to New York. Now, it's kind of weird because these are basketball players recruiting a football player to a football team, but apparently they want to grow
the city,
New York City sports.
Yeah.
I mean, which I respect that to them completely, and I think that the Jets here would do really well with a Deshaun Watson trade. Even if they had to give up the number 2 pick. I like Justin Fields, but the Ohio State quarterbacks that have come out of Ohio State haven't done good in the NFL, really ever. Especially in past years, the Urban Meyer and the Ryan Day era. You've had Guys like Cardale Jones and JT Barrett, who were late round guys, so you didn't really expect a ton out of them, but they were national championship quarterbacks. Also, you had Braxton Miller, who had to convert to wide receiver. That's another story, but even then, he still didn't do well. But that's out of the picture. Dwayne Haskins is the most recent example. He wasn't disciplined, and the problems on the field were super evident with Haskins in there. And now you have Fields coming in, who's probably the most physically gifted and talented players to ever come out of Ohio State as a quarterback and be a highly touted draft prospect. But that Ohio State factor just pushes it even further, and his performance in the national championship is concerning to NFL front offices. And I think taking the risk on either Zach Wilson or Justin Fields with that second pick isn't really worth it for the Jets. I think if the Jets can trade Sam Darnold, their second overall pick, the pick the next year, and the pick the next year, first rounders, and maybe throw a second in there for Deshaun Watson, that's perfect. The Jets already have Jamison Crowder at wide receiver. They got Denzel Mims, who's a good developing wide receiver as well. Braxton Berrios is a good slot receiver. He might not stick around, but he's still a pretty good wide receiver for what they're trying to do over there. And they also got Rashad Perryman, who was on and off, as he always is, but can produce when is needed and is a good deep threat. And for Watson to have that, also you got Mekhi Becton. You already got the blind side covered. Plus, with that Seattle pick that they had this year, if they were to trade away the second pick, they'd probably get another O-line in there and keep building that up. So their defense is not amazing. It definitely needs some work. But they can do that through free agency, and you're going to attract free agents.
After you sign Watson.
After you get Watson. And the picks that they'd be losing, you already have Seattle's pick this year through the Jamal Adams trade. You have Seattle's pick this year, and you have Seattle's pick next year. So that covers the picks that you'd be losing in this trade for Watson. They're later picks, but they're first round picks. If you just look at it as first round pick, it covers it. So you're getting rid of your two first rounders this year and next year, but you're keeping the Seattle picks. So you still have first round picks to build around and build around Watson. So I think getting Watson here in New York is just a better move. You lose a first-round pick 3 years down the line, but at that point, I don't think you're going to need it at all. So, you know, and you also have seconds and all that, and I think that they could manage with that. I think if you're going down this line with the Jets, you want to have a winning franchise by the third year. And also, if you look at it like this, if the Jets get Deshaun Watson, the Patriots have the worst quarterback in the AFC East.
Depending on what they do in free agency.
Depending, but even still, worst quarterback.
What if they get Matthew Stafford?
Or situation. If they got Stafford, I'd put Stafford over Tua in Miami, which is also another destination for Watson.
I'd put Newton over Tua.
With the season Newton just had, I can't do that.
Tua didn't show. Yeah,
Tua's super average.
Tua really didn't show much potential in.
Yeah.
Coming into his own in the league.
See, I don't think Tua has a good offense around him. He needs maybe a little bit more wide receivers than like Devontae Parker, but he has a good offense around him, and he should be definitely doing more than he is. But then again, this is his first year as the quarterback, and with how the NFL is progressing, you'd want to have better rookie seasons, because that's how the league is trending.
Yeah.
But
in my,
some quarterbacks just need that extra time. Like Josh Allen sucked his first 2 years, and then
he
got developed.
Yeah, and he got Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. And Tua doesn't have the physical gifts that Josh Allen has necessarily, but he has the intelligence and all that,
also,
which is hard to develop, but.
Well,
we'll see.
Again, on my point of, I feel like Newton's a better quarterback than Tua. You look at Newton's numbers, they're not good. But you look at his weapons, they're outrageously worse than the weapons Tua was given.
That is true.
Tua had a good tight end in Mike Gesicki. Mm. He had a good wide receiver core. Mm. and he still wasn't producing the numbers that he should have been. Granted, it was his rookie season. He might come into it his sophomore year. But in my eyes, based off of just the numbers we've seen and the weapons they were given to work with, I would say Cam Newton would be a better turnout.
Now, I think Newton, definitely the weapons played into it. When you only have Jacoby Myers basically as your number one wide receiver, with Edelman, you saw earlier in the season, especially in the Seattle game, Edelman had 151 yards, Newton passed for over 300, like 50-something yards. Don't have the stat on me right now, so I'm not sure. But I for sure know that Newton went over 300. Once he lost Edelman, and he had some shaky games with Edelman, but once he lost Edelman,
he lost a lot of confidence in his core.
Yeah, and he couldn't do a ton.
Because so Edelman was that guy you can lean back on. You know, he's consistent. He'll be able to catch balls game in, game out. Granted, he did have a few drops because he's having a bit of difficulty adjusting to a new quarterback. Mm. But it's a lot to work with when you don't have that solid, experienced receiver to lean back on.
Yeah. Myers turned into that number one wide receiver for Newton, and it did work out to some extent, but that's really all he had. Damir Bird showed flashes, but he's never really consistent. So I do agree that the core was bad. But Newton's arm strength has been a complete problem this year. And
in terms of a future, I would rather have two on my team than Cam Newton.
Oh, right of course.
Now. But in terms of right now, I think Cam Newton is better.
Right now,
I hope that Tua proves me wrong next season, but we shall see.
Right now, I'd probably still go with Tua for right now. Like, even if you put them in this at the same age, Cam 31 and Tua 31, I'd probably still go with Tua at this point. I just think Tua played better. Yes, he had good weapons, but Tua didn't necessarily underthrow and have all these passing problems all the time.
That's true.
Arm strength problems. And that's what Newton has because he's older and he's banged up. He's a mobile quarterback, so he got a lot of injuries, and that's just what happens, unfortunately. He had great arm strength when he came into the league. And his 2016 MVP season, arm strength was great. He was a great player, great passer. But it's deteriorated so much that when he can't even reach his open wide receivers, you can't blame that on the weapons. And that happened a lot during the season.
That's fair, yeah.
Tua, he had accuracy problems, but he could get it in the area. Newton, it was either underthrow, overthrow, and he could never really put the ball in the right place for the wide receiver. The wide receiver really had to work for that. So I just don't see Newton as the better quarterback than Tua. I think Tua is better. Now, I've been down on Tua ever since he came into the league. I put Herbert over Tua before he came,
and that
before the draft even happened. It did pay off in a really good way.
Herbert is, he's good.
Herbert is legit. Definitely took Phil Rivers' spot and ran with it. I mean, he might even go down better than Philip Rivers in Chargers history at this point, if he keeps going on the tear that he's going on.
Yeah, he instantly molded into that offense really well. I really didn't understand the hesitation, I don't know who the coach is there, but
Anthony Lynn was the coach there.
The hesitation to put him in kind of confused me.
Yeah, Tyrod really wasn't doing anything for them. I understand. I like to sit rookie quarterbacks for as long as you can if you have a good mentor there.
Yeah.
I think that's the ideal situation. The ideal situation when you draft a quarterback, even if he's completely NFL ready to go immediately, you put him under a quarterback to develop him so that he gets used to the system. And when he is like fully ready, you don't just have to throw him into a game week one. You can throw him in week seven, like they did with Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. They put him, I believe they put him under Tyrod Taylor as well. Tyrod Taylor has been used for this a lot as a mentor quarterback. But Baker came in like week seven or something, and then he went on a tear and everything. And I think that did wonders for Baker in his rookie season to be under a experienced quarterback that taught him things. And I think that's very valuable for quarterbacks. And I think a lot of quarterbacks that just got thrown into the fire, such as like Josh Rosen, although his talent might have not been there in the first place, but I'm going to use him as an example here. he was thrown straight in and failed immediately. And that's what a lot of quarterbacks do. Once that quarterbacks that get development first generally are more likely better off to succeed. So that's what I think there. And also another point on the Chargers, they just hired the Rams defensive coordinator as their head coach instead of someone like Eric Bieniemy, the Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator, who is an offensive genius.
I think the offensive coordinator would have been the better choice for the Chargers.
I definitely think that,
as their offense is definitely where they have the most potential.
Mm.
And if they're going to win games, they need to have their offense thriving. Obviously, improving their defense is something they want to work on.
Yeah.
And it's not like they have a bad defense either. It's pretty average.
It's aging in some points, and they need to develop it, definitely. I think that's something that needs more work. But in this case, you have Justin Herbert. And with a coaching change going into his second year, so he's going to have two coaches in 2 years, I would want an offensive coach there to coach up Herbert, because I want to do whatever I can
to ensure that he keeps doing well on this path. Yeah.
Yeah. And hiring from the McVay tree, which this was, is good. Not necessarily all hires from the McVay tree is good. Zach Taylor, the coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, was a quarterbacks coach for the, it might've been the Rams, but he was under the McVay tree and he got hired for the Bengals job. And that has never been a good decision. And still, even with Burrow, hasn't worked out very, very well for the team. So honestly, I think they should have went in a different direction there, but I mean, we'll see. Another point on the Deshaun Watson kind of train that we've got going is Watson commented on Instagram, dope pic, to a 49ers fan page that posted a picture of him in a Joe Montana jersey, obviously 49ers. So there's some rumors there that Watson might just be toying with him, but that, as most players like to do. But Watson could possibly be going to the San Francisco 49ers, or it might be one of his destinations that he wants. I think this would be good for the 49ers, but I don't know if they have the capital to go and get a player like that. I just don't think it's possible. So we'll see, but I don't think that's going to happen. Right now, I'm really focused on the New York package for Watson. I think that's the most possible package. That or either the Miami package, where Miami gives Tua, but even then, I don't think Miami really wants to give up Tua that early. If I were Miami, I'd say, yeah, I'm gonna give up on Tua, because he already got proven quarterback in Deshaun, who could be, well, I don't think anybody's ever really gonna take the crown from Mahomes as far as Mahomes goes in his career, because he's generational.
Deshaun will be a very close second to him.
Exactly. And I think Deshaun has that same type of skill set that Mahomes does.
He is a very similar play style, yeah.
But I don't think he'll ever really.
He's a little less flashy.
Yeah. And Mahomes just has that winning factor that Watson hasn't been able to.
Mahomes
grasp.
Also was thrown into a
amazing
offense
situation
that is ready to go to a Super Bowl. Yeah. Like, the team was ready to go to a Super Bowl, it just needed its quarterback.
Yeah, it was a great situation.
Yeah.
So that also should be included in that statement. But we'll see. Houston is reportedly looking at, as I said earlier, Chiefs OC Eric Bieniemy and Josh McCown.
For some reason.
So McCown was, if you don't know Josh McCown, he's been a journeyman backup quarterback for about every single team. He's probably on your team at some point, because he's been on like 12 teams. It's insane. He's like 40-something. This guy has never coached on an NFL roster, as far as I know.
I don't think he's
ever
coached on any roster.
Yeah, because he's been playing.
College or NFL, because he's been a player.
So why would such a drastic jump to Josh McCown possibly getting the Houston Texans job? And if this doesn't piss off Deshaun Watson anymore, I don't know what does.
I think if you're I guess Deshaun Watson isn't talking to the team right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's back on speaking terms.
I don't think he is. I think they're a lot.
But the moment, if they haven't hired a head coach yet and they do get back on speaking terms, the first thing he's got to say is, Were you really looking to hire Josh McCown as our head coach? And just pray that they said no.
Yeah.
And hope Bleacher Report was on something.
Well, Ian Rappaport, I think, was the one that reported it.
Well,
if I'm not
that
wrong.
Is an issue.
And he's very reliable.
Yeah, he's a reliable source. So the Texans, please get help.
Yeah, so if that is true, and I don't think it's a false report, because Rappaport usually just spits facts. But if this is true, this is the biggest insult to Eric Bieniemy that I've ever seen in my life. And in coaching searches everywhere. Now, if Josh McCown somehow wins a Super Bowl in like 3 years, then like, curse me out, because right now, this is off of like just reaction today. I've never seen Josh McCown coach in my life, because he hasn't. Why we think that he shouldn't be head coach of the Houston Texans.
We got this notification like half an hour before starting filming.
Yeah.
And we had to look at it a few times to make sure we read it the right way, because we were so confused by everything. Because I don't think McCown's officially announced that he's retiring from playing yet, let alone being a head coach.
Yeah.
Somewhere. So I don't know.
It's just so confusing. And Eric Bieniemy, like, one of the greatest offensive minds in the offensive coordinator position right now. And you got Josh McDaniels in New England still, too. Like, Caserio's the GM right now, the Texans. He has connections with the Patriots. Why isn't he asking to interview McDaniels? McDaniels and Bieniemy are so far more qualified than Josh McCown. You have to be insane to even consider Josh McCown here. And also, they also interviewed former Lions coach Jim Caldwell, who while he was with the Lions, got them to a few it might have just been one playoff appearance, but he got something done with them, but got fired because he could never get them to the next step. Houston's trying to get to the next step. If they were to keep Deshaun Watson, I don't think they're getting there. But even still, they're still trying to get to that next step. They don't want to hire a coach that can just get them so far. That's what Bill O'Brien was. He got them up to the first round of the playoffs, and that's really all he could do. All he can muster. And Caldwell, McCown is ridiculous. Hire Bieniemy. I think Watson wants Bieniemy. So if you even want to keep your franchise quarterback, you hire Bieniemy. I think it's just such a clear-cut decision. I don't know what they're doing sitting around and talking with the backup quarterback for a head coaching job. It's just, it's so moronically stupid that they're doing this. And I don't know. And there's also reports that the coaches don't even want Houston's jobs, and that's become such an undesirable position through all this. So, I mean, we'll see what happens there. Another story that came out this week after the NFC divisional games was Drew Brees. Drew Brees reportedly is going to retire after he lost to the Buccaneers 30-20. He threw some interceptions at the end of that game. Was not a good send-off game really for him at all. So, I mean, it's really sad to see Brees go out like that.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see Brees go to another Super Bowl, but I don't think he really had that
in
him anymore.
I don't think that was in the cards for
that
team.
I mean, so much talent on that team with Emmanuel Sanders, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas.
Latavius
Murray.
Thomas really showed that he can only run slants, though. He did not.
He is very one-dimensional at this point. But also, he did say he was playing hurt.
That is true. You have to take into account he's getting like two knee surgeries.
Yeah.
In this offseason, because he played through it for Brees, which I big respect to him for that. But yeah.
Yeah, just really sad to see Brees go. He's just so. You could argue top five quarterback. Definitely his statistics say that. You know, he proved really that the height for quarterbacks don't matter necessarily, even for pocket quarterbacks, because he was a pocket quarterback and he could see over the line just fine, according to his statistics and what he did in the league.
Yeah.
And he had injury problems, and people, I think it was his shoulder. People were looking at his shoulder back in like the 07 offseason. The Dolphins passed on a chance to sign him. He was originally going to sign with Miami, and Miami lost out on a big one there. And instead, he went to New Orleans, did wonders for that city. Drew Brees is like a symbol of New Orleans.
He's a hero.
Yeah.
For that city.
So, honestly, good for him. Wish him well in retirement. Philip Rivers also retired just after that.
Lost one of the most legendary trash talkers in the game.
Yep. 17 seasons, number 17. He was also a great player. We're losing two of the greats of the early 2000s into current day. I mean, these guys shaped really the NFL through that time. You had Rivers, Breeze, Brady, Manning, Eli too, Roethlisberger, and all those guys.
Brady and Roethlisberger are the only two left out of those six.
Yeah, so most of them are already out the door, and Brady and Roethlisberger are ready to go out. Roethlisberger's probably, I think Roethlisberger should go out the door right now.
I think Roethlisberger should, yeah. I think he should have retired last year.
Yeah.
But he definitely doesn't have more than another season in him. I don't see it.
But those guys are almost out the door. Brady's going to be out the door by after next season, I'd assume. I think he's going to play another one because his contract has that. It has an opt-out. But
I think he wants to play for another five, but he's only physically able to play another two.
Yeah, Brady definitely wants to play a long time. But
also, his wife probably is not a fan of that.
Yeah, his wife's wanted to retire for quite a bit.
His wife's wanted to retire for the last 5 years.
Yeah, but he keeps playing. He'll probably be gone soon too. But did I name six quarterbacks? Yeah, six quarterbacks. Those six quarterbacks shaped what was such a amazing time of football.
Yeah.
They were just so fun to watch, and those were the core guys that you really looked at.
And they were smart. Like, it wasn't just they were entertaining the way they played. They just knew the game so well.
Yeah.
Like, all of them, they could all read a defense better than almost any other quarterback ever.
Yeah.
Like, it was outrageous.
And this next generation of quarterbacks coming in, too, I think is going to be just as good. I mean...
And these ones are a bit more agile as well. So that brings in...
They're a whole different type of quarterback. Yeah.
Every single one of them has a scrambling element to them in some way, shape, or form.
Future of the NFL, Mahomes, other quarterbacks that I think are going to be in that same category as we just named those six. Watson, Josh Allen could be in there.
Josh Allen definitely has the potential to be there.
Kyler Murray, when he starts to develop, I believe will definitely be there.
Yeah, he's looked really good the last two seasons.
Yeah. Some other ones. Russell Wilson's still pumping along with those guys.
He's kind of like an awkward... Middle period ground. Between Mahomes and he's like a blend of the two styles of play between Mahomes and Brady. Yeah.
Oh, and another name to put into those six quarterbacks, so now seven, would be Rodgers. Rodgers came along a little longer. I can't believe I forgot that, but Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks to ever do it as well. He's still going.
Some people say he's in there. Personally, I disagree.
I definitely. He has one Super Bowl, and his seasons have been on and off, not statistically, but win-wise.
Yes.
And he's always had a pretty, like, not amazing, but good supporting cast around him. So that makes me dock him a little bit.
I would always put Brady as the goat, just because... Six rings.
The only two quarterbacks that should ever, maybe fit in Manning there, but the only quarterbacks that should
be Montana and Brady.
Yeah, Montana and Brady. Montana and Brady are the only ones that should ever be in the GOAT conversation. Montana was the GOAT up until Brady won Super Bowl 51. Then Brady took that.
Mm-hmm.
Once Brady beat Montana in terms of Super Bowl wins, it is out the door. We're going to take a quick ad break, and we'll be back after that.
Hello, welcome back from the break. We're going right back into more NFL with Matt Patricia.
Yes.
Signing back with New England.
Yeah, so Matt Patricia is back in New England. It's not as a defensive coordinator like he was before, or at least that's what it looks like right now. Jerod Mayo has handled the play calling for New England's defense, or has been the unofficial defensive coordinator, whatever you want to call it, in New England for the past year. Patricia now comes in, and he's probably going to be a positions coach somewhere if he doesn't retain his defensive coordinator role. He's also bringing along another Detroit staffer to New England. So I think it's a good influence of a former New England staffer is coming back into New England, despite how you feel about Patricia and his handlings of, for instance, Super Bowl 52. Even though they didn't have Malcolm Butler in the game, still good hire. The New England staff has lost a lot of guys in the past few years, so getting one back and gaining another that was a part of the Patricia staff in Detroit is a big gain for them. On to Baltimore. So the Ravens, they are going to talk an extension with Lamar Jackson. I don't know about you, Aiden, but I think this is not the best idea as of right now.
I mean, I don't really see any other option the Ravens have. They don't really have another quarterback under them that would really be someone that could bring them wins and success. Lamar Jackson is definitely the quarterback for their franchise at the moment. As we've said before on the podcast, he's a good player right now, but the longevity of him being able to not be injured is going to be unlike it. I don't know.
Yeah.
The type of player he is and how like small he is and not really built to take big hits, I would say. Granted, he's been fine the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the moment he gets one serious injury, which I hope he doesn't because he's really entertaining to watch. But if that does happen and he gets a really serious injury, I don't think he'll be anywhere near the type of player he was beforehand.
Yeah, I think if he does get injured, he's not going to come back into form, really. If it's a very serious one, like an ACL sign.
If it's
I think he's going to be able to retain
it. If it's in his upper body, I think he'll be okay.
Yeah. Because throwing really isn't a big part of his game necessarily. He's more of a runner.
But his throwing is strong enough to make it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
very difficult to defend their offense.
Yeah. So I'm not the biggest fan of Jackson. I don't think he has the potential to really win in the playoffs long term, get to a Super Bowl,
Especially in a league where you're going to have Mahomes and Watson around for the next however many years.
He's just one-dimensional in a sense because he doesn't really have this arm strength to stand in the pocket and be that type of quarterback that Mahomes and Watson and all of them guys can be. Lamar's really more of a runner, relies a little too much on his legs, and his arm has been developing, but it's going to take a while, I think, to get to a really good point with that. And also, he's heading into his fourth season. I believe he still has a fifth-year option. I'd wait until the option, pick up the option, and then talk extension. I'd wait another offseason. I don't think it's – I see where they're coming from. I mean, he is their franchise guy. They see him as that. I don't see him as their ultimate – I don't see him as the guy that's going to get there for them, for the Ravens. So, me looking at it, I don't like the extension that they might do. But hey, Ravens also released running back Mark Ingram. $5 million will be saved on the cap. They already had Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins back there. So makes sense to cut Ingram, who didn't have that much production this year. Production went down. Also was not available the whole entire season. And he's getting older. He'll probably sign with another team and be a decent back. But I don't think he's ever going to be really that number one back anymore with what's happened to him here. So someone finally signed Dwayne Haskins. That was the Pittsburgh Steelers. We talked about earlier in the podcast, Roethlisberger, how he might retire.
Nearing retirement.
Yeah. I think this is it's a boom or bust signing, obviously.
Yeah. It could turn out pretty well, or it could do absolutely nothing for you. Really, you're not really risking that much in doing it. So, I'd say it's a good move from the Steelers. Give him a year or two under Roethlisberger, however long he stays in the league for, assuming they don't cut him.
Hmm.
And just try and develop Haskins hopefully behaves himself. And if he comes to be something good, then eh.
Haskins has the physical attributes, but the question really is his decision-making and off-field stuff. Steelers locker room right now isn't the best locker room to be in with Juju and Chase Claypool, which could be a
bad... Claypool really wasn't that big of an issue until the playoffs.
Yeah.
Claypool seemed all right.
He got a little hot-headed, and that might be just because he's a rookie.
I think his ego inflated because he was having such a good season.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the best locker room for Haskins, but I hope the best for him. I hope that he gets everything controlled. But he has talent. It's just he needs to be in the right place to focus and get that talent out of him. The Steelers definitely have a good surrounding cast. As I said, the locker room maybe isn't the best, but hopefully he can figure something out. The NFL released today that the Super Bowl will have 22,000 fans there, 7,000, I think like 500 of them are going to be free tickets to healthcare workers.
Healthcare workers who have been vaccinated.
Yeah.
And have been working on the front lines.
So that's good.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's a really good... good move from the NFL. Hmm. I like that.
It doesn't show... it's sad that, you know, we can't have the 60-plus K capacity stadium filled up for a Super Bowl, but
hey, at least
you can
there.
Get 22,000 fans, which is, like, a little less than probably one-third of the capacity of Raymond James. So it's still a pretty decent size. Good to
My thing is,
there.
I think... Obviously... Healthcare workers have been great. But personally, there's plenty of other frontline workers that don't get as much attention.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Just other people that keep people's lives going, like grocery stores and all the other, like, I don't know. People on the front line.
I can get with
that. There's plenty of people that are needed to kind of keep the country running. Obviously they're keeping us safe, so that's why they're the main focus, but there's a lot of people keeping the country running and providing things.
Credit to the people that worked through the pandemic to keep the economy going, you know what I mean?
I think they should have mixed it with like majority healthcare and then other frontline workers they just gifted into like a random pool or something like
that. We're not sure how the distribution is really going
to
work out.
But
we
it's
assume
cool to
that it's going to be mostly the doctors and stuff. But we'll see. We'll see. It's just good that they're going to have fans there and that they're doing something for the people that are getting us all through COVID and everything.
Yeah.
So
it's really cool that they're doing that.
Yeah, it's good to see. Now on to the NFC Championship up and coming and the AFC Championship up and coming. This Sunday. So earlier this week, Bruce Arians, coach of the Buccaneers, who will be facing the Green Bay Packers this Sunday in Lambeau. It's expected to be under 30 degrees at kickoff. It's going to be very cold. Wind chills going to be there in Green Bay.
Hopefully Tom Brady will not have lost his touch in cold weather.
Yep.
I don't think he will. I think he'll thrive.
The Buccaneers actually have only won one game ever that's been under 29 degrees at kickoff. And it was a divisional playoff game back in, like, I think, 02 or something.
But
during
they
have their Super
Tom
Bowl
Brady,
run.
The king of snow.
The last game that they played
I
under 29 was 2016.
Brady and Gronk will work really well through it because they were in New England. But I think Evans, Godwin, the other players who are used to sunny Tampa Bay.
Might get a little discouraged.
I wouldn't say discouraged, but they might be a little... I don't know. Oh,
out of their
element. Their joints might be a little frozen. They might be a little. They might be a bit slow in the first quarter. Take a bit to warm into the game.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say it's a slow start from the majority of the Tampa Bay team, but I'm picking Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I'm really all in here on the Packers. I mean,
I just can't bet against Brady.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from, but Antonio Brown is out for this game. Now, you could debate Antonio Brown's impact on this team. Really hasn't had that big of an impact, especially when you already have Chris Godwin and Mike Evans on that offense.
And Gronk.
And then you got Fournette and Ronald Jones in the backfield. you could say that maybe they're not really going to miss him. You know, Scotty Miller has been a big weapon actually for Brady, and he seems to like target him a lot.
It's his replacement for Edelman almost.
Yeah, so you could debate that maybe even Scotty Miller this season has had more of an impact than Antonio Brown has on this team. So that might not even be that big of a loss. Me personally, I think the weather, as little as it probably will impact the Bucs, I think it can. I also think that, you know, the Packers will probably struggle against that strong Buccaneers run defense. But I think the Packers run defense can also stop Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones. And I think the pass rush also can get to Brady, with as well as the coverage. And I just think that Rodgers and Adams against that Tampa defense,
I think it's
going to
rely a lot on play calling.
Yeah. And you saw
adapting to how the defense is playing. Like, if they're playing to stop your run, try and get the pass game going, whether you're the Bucs or the Packers.
Mm.
And if I see the Bucs coming out guns a-blazing, just bringing it to them and going a lot of passing game, like run it on first down, second and third throw, or like take a shot downfield or some, like take a medium to long pass on first down, run it on second, depends on where you're at for third. I don't know. I feel like there's going to be a very aggressive play style from the Bucs coming out. I think they're going to be coming out with a vengeance. Mm. I don't know.
I look at it this way, is that last week the Bucs came out pretty slow against the Saints defense that I'd say is a little bit better than the Packers defense, but they do, in my mind, kind of fit into the same category. Now, if the Buccaneers offense starts off slow against this Packers offense, defense, I think that they're not going to necessarily get rolling, especially during the cold and all of that. I think Brady will have – it will be a close game, but I just see the Packers offense coming out on top with Adams and Rodgers, and I think MVS, too, can start to get going every once in a while, and Alan Lazard. I think that they just have the upper hand in this one, and even in the coaching – category.
They definitely have better coaches.
Matt LaFleur is just much better than Bruce Arians. I think Bruce Arians is a clown at this point.
Well, as Bruce Arians said, he said the Pats didn't let Brady coach.
Yeah.
That shows you how great of a coach Bruce Arians is, meaning that he doesn't coach, neither does the offensive coordinator.
Mm.
It's the Tom Brady show, just like LeBron with Ty Lue. And he says that, which it's surprising. I don't care who you are. I don't care what quarterback you are. If you're in a team that has Bill Belichick, arguably the greatest head coach of all time, at least top three, top two.
I think we can say he's the greatest at this point.
Yeah.
I think.
I would say that.
Yeah.
And Josh McDaniels, who's also proven to be a very good offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not in their nature to let a player dictate
what they do.
Yeah. Belichick does his own thing. He doesn't care about what anyone else thinks.
And it has winning results.
Exactly. I mean,
you can't criticize him for that.
You see, Bill Belichick coached. He has 6 Super Bowls. Bruce Arians let his players coach.
Yeah, 0. Nothing.
that's my logic.
And this is one of the most talented offenses in recent memory. And
oh, by far.
You can't say that it's not. I mean, this is
a star-studded
cast. And he got it to 11-5. They didn't even win their division. Now, you can say that they're in the NFC Championship right now. If they lose this game, though, I mean, how do you coach a team so badly that
you give this team to Josh McDaniels as the head coach.
Mm.
14-2. Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'd have to probably agree with that one. I think even
Belichick would go undefeated.
Yeah. McDaniels, when he coached in Denver, wasn't amazing, but I still think that he's a better coach than probably Arians would do, because Arians just hasn't been able to do, he hasn't been able to go anywhere in the league as a head coach. And it shows. He's just so relaxed, and it's just, it doesn't work.
He cares more about the players' feelings than the results that the team is getting. And he, I don't know. He's too laid back. He's not enough, like, work rate kind of. Bill Belichick is, he's going to work you into the ground. You're going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go to work. You're going to put in hustle, and you're going to win.
Mm.
That's just New England football. Bruce Arians is like the opposite.
So the AFC Championship game is going to be the Chiefs versus the Bills. Mahomes, who got pretty banged up, got a concussion. He cleared concussion protocol already, and he's cleared to play against the Bills.
Which is debatable. I think
he's
definitely not good for his health to be playing football, but
definitely not.
Kind of like Michael Thomas playing through like a torn ACL the whole season just for Drew Brees.
And Brady's played through tons of concussions in his day. So Mahomes really doing the same thing.
I think he'll look a little slow and weighed down a little bit. Mm. He'll definitely be very hesitant to run the ball.
Yeah.
Probably won't happen. And if he gets any hard hits, like sacks or anything, he's going to be pretty slow to get up.
I think Mahomes is going to be a little shaken up.
But I don't think his passing game will be that effective.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a little shaken up probably at the start of the game. But once he gets into his rhythm, I think he'll probably look the same. You know, the greats try to they really just get through it. I don't know how they do.
Yeah, this is a good test of endurance and.
Mm.
Obviously.
And that
he's definitely concussed, so
yeah.
We'll see how he's able to play through probably a vast amount of pain.
Mm. So I think the Chiefs are actually probably going to win this one, even with Mahomes being concussed. I just don't see Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, really the whole entire team over there in Buffalo, which I think is doing a great job. Sean McDermott, I love him as a coach. He developed Josh Allen amazingly. Brian Daboll also should be given credit for that, the OC over there. Allen has made amazing strides. Stephon Diggs, one of the best wide receivers in football right now. And their defense is a little overrated, but it's still good. But I give this one to the Chiefs. Their offense is just so talented. Their defense really took a step up this year. Overall, they're a better team this year than they were last year, and last year they won the Super Bowl. So I think if Mahomes can stay competent,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, make good reads still, I think they'll win this game.
I feel like the Chiefs, if they can stay healthy, and, like, if their game plan goes the way they want it to, I think they have a good shot at winning the game, and probably will.
Yeah.
But the Bills, I feel like they're going to come out, they're going to be aggressive. They're going to come right for Mahomes. They know he's going to be probably a little shaken up. They're going to try and take advantage of that. I'm not going to say they're going to try and hurt him, because mm-hmm. I would hope nobody does that.
Yeah.
But they're definitely going to he's going to have a little bit more of a target on his back, because they know that it's that much likely that they'll be able to get that second string quarterback into the game if they get one hit on him that shakes him up a little.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if Mahomes isn't able to finish out the game, I think if Mahomes is out before the end of the third quarter and it's not already a blowout, the Bills have a good chance of coming back into the game. Their defense may be turning it around a little with taking advantage of the backup quarterback. Granted, it's pretty hard not to do well, no matter who you are as a quarterback, with that group that you're mm-hmm. surrounded with. But I think the Bills got a good opportunity if Mahomes doesn't finish the game.
I think if Mahomes is in the full game, I think the start of the game will be close, and I think they'll come out pretty well. But I think
the Chiefs
are
going
to start to pull away. If Mahomes is fine, like if he can play well and fine, I think the Chiefs start to pull away, because I just think they're a better team than the Bills. And the Bills going to a Super Bowl would be great for the city of Buffalo and everything and their fans who have been suffering for a bit. But I just don't think this year's the year. So we'll see on Sunday, but it should, both games should be very interesting, I think. Very good games. So now on to the NBA. Just a few little game recaps and stuff here. Not a ton happening in the NBA this past week. But Kyrie Irving, he said to the fans that he just needed a pause. This is related to his absence, where he basically disappeared, went off the grid, and no one could talk to him at all. He said he needed a pause, and he apologized to the fans. If you need a pause, maybe tell your front office first.
Yeah, if you need a pause, communicate it. Tell them, hey, I'm not feeling like myself. I need to go take a recovery, take like a week off. That's the mature, intelligent way of going about it.
Mm.
But Kyrie being Kyrie, he said, I'm just going to leave. I'm out. I'm just going to leave for a week. I'm not talking to anyone. Nope. He's gone.
Skip a couple games.
I'm going to put panic into my front office and my fans and my team. Probably make the locker room a little shaky. And then I'm going to come back like business as usual. And I feel like he forgets this is a job. It's a business. Anyone who works a normal job, say you work like a 9 to 5, you can't just say, like, without any notice, say it's like your first year at this, at a new job. It's not your first job you've ever had in a professional career, but it's first year, new job. You just go off the grid for a week. What's going to happen? You're going to get fired. You're going to get fired. I mean, that's how it is.
It's pretty clear cut.
You can't just leave work for a week without saying anything. And then come back and just be like, oh, I'm sorry. No. You can't. That's not how that works.
It's pretty ridiculous. I mean, he really, really needs someone to tell him to stop doing all this crap. I mean, he needs to focus on basketball. And if you want to do things to help support community and stuff, you can do that. But you still need to show up and play basketball.
Exactly.
You can't just leave. And if you want to just leave, you tell the front office that you need some time. Dennis Rodman would leave and go party because he needed to, I guess. But at least he told the team, and the team let him. But Kyrie just leaves. Doesn't give notice. He just leaves.
He leaves to go work on self-improvement, which is better than going to party.
Yeah.
But you still don't get an excuse for just being like, nah, you can figure it out yourself. Put the pieces together and you know my past. You know I just kind of walk away every once in a while. Come on, you'll get used to it.
Also, speaking of the Nets and Kyrie Irving, the Cavs beat the Nets 147 to 135. Colin Sexton had 42 points. Durant, on the other side, had 38. This one was pretty interesting. Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie's return to Cleveland. First time playing there in two years?
Yeah, I'm surprised that it took that long for him to go back to Cleveland.
It seems like he just doesn't like playing in stadiums that for teams that he used to play at when there's actual fans.
He doesn't
at
really like that.
Granted, I don't think Cleveland wouldn't have been mad at him because he got traded. It's not like...
And he did good things for the franchise. So
yeah, he did good things for the franchise. He didn't really hurt them in any way.
That's the kind of
thing
that I like.
He didn't ask to be traded.
Yeah.
It's just business. Got traded.
Cavs Kyrie is the last one I ever liked.
Boston Kyrie, he knows he was going to get a few beers tossed at him if he came to the TD Garden with fans in it.
Yeah.
He probably still will when fans are back in stadiums. Just because the city of Boston, not a fan of Kyrie. He didn't really do anything positive for us. He talked bad about our entire team and our roster, which is basically still intact from when he left, other than Hayward and Rozier. And it, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just, he's just a character, isn't he?
Yeah. So Sexton scored 42. Pretty good.
Career high.
Yeah, without Darius Garland, the Cavs beat them by 12. They pulled away in the second OT, but besides the point.
Sexton scored 20 straight points.
His team didn't score. Like, there was a run of 20 points scored by the Cavs all by him. Mm. And that is what brought them that win.
Yeah.
And it was really impressive.
Very impressive game. And good to see the Cavs. I'm liking the Cavs right now. The Nets still need to figure out some chemistry stuff, which is obvious. This is the first game with Durant.
I think
Kyrie.
Once they hit midseason, they'll start getting pretty scary.
Yeah.
I think Durant and Harden, they've played together. They played together in Oklahoma City. Obviously, they're two completely different players now.
Yeah.
But they kind of know each other's game. And Kyrie's a much different player than Westbrook was in that big three.
Yeah.
So they're just going to have to adjust to a different third piece of the triangle.
Yeah. So now we're going to shift over to soccer for our last topic.
Neymar with one goal and Mbappe with a brace put in a very good game to win 4-0. Borussia Gladbach moved to fourth in the Bundesliga with a 4-2 win over Dortmund. Arsenal have reportedly been closing in on a loan for Martin Odegaard, who has requested a loan out of Real Madrid in the recent days, amid rumors that he wanted to go back to his former loan destination, Real Sociedad. It is rumored that he was convinced by the words of Mikel Arteta, Arsenal's manager, and Danny Ceballos, who's another Real Madrid player currently out on loan at Arsenal, to join them. No official statements have been made, but it is expected in the coming days that it will be announced that he is going to be a Gunner. Wolves are trying to close in on the signing of Willian Jose, striker from Real Sociedad. Real Madrid lost 2-1 to a 10-man third-tier side, Alcoyano, I believe is how you pronounce it, in the extra time of the Copa del Rey round of 32.
Not a good loss.
No. Very. It's been an interesting tournament, the Copa del Rey, this year. Lots of upsets from lower tier sides. And the expected exit of Mesut Ozil from Arsenal has happened. He's now playing for Fenerbahçe in Turkey, which he said he was a lifelong fan of. So good for him.
There you go.
The La Liga table right now looking... it's looking kind of back to normal now that Barcelona are back in the top three. We got Atletico leading by 7 points with a match in hand on both Real Madrid and Barcelona. And Real Madrid, Barcelona are only separated by 3 points. Premier League, we got Man United on top as they have been in really good form recently. Man City are in really good form, winning all of their last 5 games. Only 2 points behind them with a game in hand. And Liverpool sliding down the table with no wins in their last 5 as they are 6 points off the top. Serie A with Juventus in 5th. Milan 10 points ahead of them in 1st. Inter Milan 3 points behind them. The Bundesliga, we got Bayern, Leipzig, Leverkusen, Mönchengladbach, and Dortmund. And that is all.
All right, that's the end of Sports Report Podcast, episode 33. We're really getting up there in terms of episodes. Thank you guys so much for listening. We couldn't do this without you. Guys, follow us on social media at Sports Report Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at SportsReportPo1. Follow me personally at SportsRepBilly. Follow Aiden at AdenSRP.
A-D-E-N.
Yeah, A-D-E-N. Follow Alejandro at Alejandro_SRP. Guys, thank you so much for listening. In a couple days, actually, we'll be having a new podcast come out with just me. It's going to be about draft prospects, and it's going to run throughout the whole entire year. Every week, we'll have a short form, 30-minute type of episode on a specific draft prospect where I'll just run down everything that you can know about that prospect. And it's going to be especially fun going into drafts. We're going into draft season right now, almost in the off season. So go check that out. It's called The Scouting Board. That will be on all podcast platforms that you can find Sports Report podcasts on as well, very, very soon. So be on the lookout for that. Our social medias will have updates for that as well. Thank you guys so much for listening. We couldn't do this without you. We love you guys, and we'll see you in Sports Report Podcast episode 34 next week. Thanks, guys. Bye.